Welcome to the Roughish Registry.
I don't even know what episode it is. I was going to try to say episode number.
Yeah, it's like 11 or 12.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know.
We've got some pretty cool guests on for the show. Going to talk a little bit about scouting with some guys you may have heard of before.
Yeah. They
weighed in a small stringer of fish at the U.S. Open last year.
Yeah, they did okay.
Yeah, I think they finished maybe like first place or something.
First place. They brought in a half ton.
Yeah, I remember seeing the Facebook Live from JP, and I was just like, this can't be real.
Stock pond. Yeah. Fake news.
No.
But, this is not happening.
So, yeah, we've got Tommy Woods and Shorty Baxter going to talk a little bit about scouting with us.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yep. So
they're going to tell us all their secrets.
No, they're not.
No, and we're not going to ask any of their secrets. Yeah. We're just going to, speak in generalities.
I will say I'm going to ask them where they killed their fish at in the U.S. Open. I'm going to tell them that. No, I'm not going to ask them that.
It'd be funny just to ask them just to see what they respond with.
Yeah.
Just be like,
like dial tone, like click.
Yeah. Hey, that was fun.
That was in our contract not to ask them that, remember?
That's right.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Let's bring them on.
What's going on, guys?
Not much. How about y'all? We just riding in the rain.
Oh, yeah. We're sitting here looking out the window at the sun and watching the water come up on Table Rock.
Yeah. I can only imagine if it's got as much rain as we've got here lately, then it'll probably be full pool here by the season.
Yes. Yes, it should. Hopefully, if you get a little let off of the rain and get some time for that water to clear up, it might be good over there at the Muzzy.
I don't know. That Muzzy's always been known as a bad weather tournament, and it's looking like it's going to be a bad weather tournament again.
Yeah, it seems like every year you start seeing Facebook, pictures of the tournament and the weigh-in is pouring down rain, and everybody's soaking wet and still having a ball, though. So,
yeah. Gonna be there, I guess.
Yeah.
Good or bad condition. I guess we've got had a couple of good years the past couple of years to kind of spoil you get back to that bad weather.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. So we'll just kind of give you the first question we always ask everybody. You can answer, Shorty can answer, or both of you can. It really don't matter. But how'd you boys get started bow fishing?
Well, actually, a friend of mine introduced me to it. He used to go turkey hunting. And when the turkeys are quick diving, about lunch time, we'd all listen to the fish down on the West Point Lake in Georgia down there with fish flopping around. And we've got down there, got watching, like, we're going to bring our bows next time. So we've got where we're turkey hunting in the morning and bow fishing in the afternoon, just waiting. And then it just kind of went from there. I mean,
it went
kind of like...
Went from wading to an airboat. Is that the the progression?
Well, there was a few in-betweens, but yeah, that's what it's progressed to.
Gotcha. What about you, Shorty?
I kept hearing about it in Belmore. Carried me to the guns one night, and that's all it took. I was hooked. And I love competition. Kids play ball, I get into it. We got into tournaments, and I love it.
Still there. Nope.
I'm here, yeah.
Gotcha. Had a little break in it there.
Awkward silence. We're good at that.
Yeah. So what, Tommy, what year did you start bow fishing? Do you remember? Just give us a...
Chase, you get how old I am?
Well, I mean, I figure you're probably my age, what, 30, 35?
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. I mean, I've been bow fishing since I was probably 18, 20 years old and waiting. But I'm 47 years old now, so I'll give you that.
Gotcha.
You can put the math on that.
So what do you think of the progression of the sport since you've started and even in the last, 5 or 10 years?
I think anybody that gets started in it is kind of hooked. I mean, I haven't picked up a rod and reel in a really long time. It's kind of like it's almost boring. Oh, I mean, it's a lot of fun. My brother is a real big bass fisherman, and he just absolutely loves bass fishing. But I don't know. I guess if I started doing it again, maybe I might get back into it. But I think anybody that it's a sport that pretty much anybody can progress in. I mean, whether it's just for fun or anything. I mean, practice makes perfect, I guess you can say. So I kind of put it in the same boat as duck hunting. Duck hunting, you can set the duck blind and you can cut up and do balls. I love to deer hunt, but it's one of them sports that you can cut up with your buddies and have a good time. And I mean, there's really not a tremendous amount of negatives to it.
Yeah, you don't have to, you're not spraying down with scent killer and putting deer pee on your boots before you walk in the woods. You're just jumping on the boat and got the radio cranking and
low pressure. You know? And it's camaraderie too. That's, you know, I wouldn't want to climb into a deer stand with Chase. I just, no offense, but no, I hear him fart enough. So no thanks.
Yeah. That's my grunt call. But, so you guys are heading out scouting, and that's kind of what, we've had a lot of people email in and shoot us messages on Facebook, and they're wanting to know, I guess, some general information on scouting. You know, if you find out there's a tournament on a certain lake or body of water, you know, how do you go about starting, especially if it's out of state? I mean, I know you guys have traveled a lot and know a lot of spots or places you probably generally go, but if you were coming in blind to an area, you know, how do you start out even eliminating places or finding places you're thinking about going before you even get there, you know, whether it's Google Earth or something like that?
Yeah, we definitely use a lot of Google Earth. I guess there's information, as much information as you can find out about someplace, it's always a little bit better. You know, I mean, a lot of friends across the country that you can talk to, find out. You know, of course, everybody ain't going to tell you certain things, but you can pretty much get the lay of something from people around. I mean, you know, Facebook is gold nowadays. In a lot of ways it's not gold, but in a lot of ways it is gold.
There's a lot of people that post pictures that don't realize that you can almost tell exactly where they're at if they know the area.
Yeah, but I really wouldn't want to tell all that, but yeah. we love those pictures. Just same with duck hunting too. I mean, you know, you can tell a tale by a picture. Everywhere we've ever scouted, we have run across one or two people at a store or at a boat ramp that has talked us into where the spot is. And we've probably looked at 100 bad spots to find two good spots. They always tell you where the fish are. And it's always alligator garner. Never longhouse or nick nose. It's always alligator garner.
Oh, yeah. They even say that up here. You know, we got them big alligator gar down there on Bull Shoals and 6 foot long. You know, hear that from the bass fishermen all the time. I got a funny story kind of on you guys. The carp out 2 years ago, you guys shot with Hoopty, right? Was he shooting with you guys?
No, he was not.
He wasn't? So 2 years ago. Well, maybe. No. Was there only two carp outs?
I don't know.
I don't know.
To the one.
Anyway, you guys were fueling your boat up right next to us, and Hoopty was in the gas station, and he was just chatting everybody and their dog up. And he goes up to this guy in a bow fishing shirt. You know, he's got his team shirt on. He's out there in his little flat bottom. And he said, "Hey, man," he goes, "what's all them lights on your boat?" And the guy said, "Well, you know, I bow fish and this and that." And Hoopty goes, what all do you shoot?" You know, and he explains it to him. And he said, "Well, where are you going tonight?" And the kid just flat out told him. I mean, it just blew my mind that you know, some random guy in a gas station. He hit him up and just played dumb, and this guy told him exactly where he's going.
Yep. I can see you doing that.
I'll never forget that. That was one of the funniest things I've seen. But, so.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun fooling with people on different things. I mean, you know, some people, they always say, well, where's you shooting at? Where's you shooting at? Or where, what's this? You know, if you tell them the truth, they wouldn't believe you. So.
Oh, I've started telling the truth sometimes.
It's always a game.
Yep.
It's a fun game. So.
You know, it's one of those deals when you're scouting, you know, you said you use Google Earth and whether it's Facebook, but whether it's, you have to spend time on the water. I mean, you can't just jump on Google Earth and assume you're going to find where the fish are. And you guys are probably the kings of that, from talking to you a little bit at deer camp and hearing how much you guys scout, you know, it's not easy for sure, but I guess I'm trying not to ask
dance around the delicate questions.
So when you guys are scouting and you come across fish, say on a point, we'll just call it a shallow point. Do you guys then bypass all other areas and start hitting every shallow point through the area and seeing if that's the pattern that they're on, or if it's a, maybe it's a fluke deal, or?
Yeah, I think the question could be, you know, poised like what style are you chasing? Is it, you know, you find one thing and then you try to duplicate that? You know, a lot of guys I think will try that or do that. You know, they'll find out the springs, trickling springs are great tonight, and then let's go hit all those. Or are you guys still open to all sorts of options when it comes to covering new ground?
Yeah, I mean, like you said a while ago, there's really no substitute whatsoever for covering water. Trying to build some kind of pattern, you know, out of things. I mean, little funny story, last year of the U.S. Open, it's the first night we scouted and we saw a bunch of fish. We thought we had it figured out. We thought, okay, there's nothing. It cuts. It's all on straight line banks. Everything that we've seen that first night was on straight line banks. No really water differences. It's just straight line banks. Every time we mark a fish, it was on a straight line bank. And the next night, there wasn't a fish on a straight line bank. Every fish was in some other little bit of either a point or something of that nature. Just something different. It made no rhyme or reason, but we really try to kind of put together some kind of, you know, pattern of whatever, but it don't always work. I mean, I guess we're lucky enough with an airboat that we can cover a whole lot of water. And lots of times, we'll just scout and slap on a plane. I mean, we won't come off planes.
Mm-hmm.
Scouting. I mean, you know, some people say, well, you can't really tell what you're, you know, looking for, but
I tell you what, I could tell a 40-plus pound. Yeah. Exactly.
So you don't need to sit there and look at them. That's what puzzles me about people that go and they'll scout and they'll find fish and they'll go back to them every single night. And then they want to know why tournament night ain't no fish there, because they come and bug them every night.
Yep.
And so, you know, you're not always going to find fish that are going to always be there. I mean, they're not, there's just, you know, weather, all that stuff has factors, and it's just not going to always happen. But if you go and scout, spend enough time on the water, and you locate multiple different scenarios, that's going to be your best bet.
Yeah. Have you found that, you know, whether you're down south and it's the tide, or whether you're up on a lake with the dam, have you felt that or found that you may be on a ton of fish, and then whether the tide goes in or out, or whether they crank the dam open, a lot of things change?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it don't matter where you're at. It seems like it always changes on Saturday night.
Yeah. I swear that JP paid off the Truman Dam 2 years ago at the Open to drop that lake a foot.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. That's it. I mean, that's, I guess that's, you can look at regular, you know, chart flows of how much water they're going to release. And it seems like that dude is always working on Saturday. He ain't going to have to do what that chart says.
Over time.
Got his own work ethic.
Yeah, he's just gonna push buttons and see what happens.
Yep, that's it. I think if they would start having some tournaments on Thursday nights or something like that, you'd see some lot more weights.
You know, there does seem to be more of a consistent flow throughout the week than there is on the weekends. I mean, it's 100%. I've been on some couple lakes around here, smaller lakes that have some good current on them. And when you go on the weekend, it's like they cut the dam off, well, so you don't have any.
And if you think about us too, in the summer, we do have a lot of our lakes are super recreational based as well. So, you know, I've always kind of attributed that to, well, we're going to have a lot more boats and traffic on the water, so they're not going to be pushing anything through, especially when it flows into Taney Como, which if you're releasing much at all, it changes that water drastically, you mm-hmm. know.
So, I think we missed our turn here.
Missed your turn?
You want to let everybody know what road that is?
What mile mark are we on right now?
Yeah, we're on I-20.
Yeah,
I-20 mile marker 420.
I wondered why my phone was down here barking at me, and then I looked down and it's telling me to turn around. I'm like, oh, okay. Chase, you're talking about a good story about Hootie. We're up in Wisconsin for the World Championships a couple years ago. We're sitting across the river from Hootie, and Hootie's seen the same fish we had seen. He's shooting numbers, and we're sitting there waiting to get dark, and honest for God, there's a whole family out in the lake swimming right where we seen our fish, and he's over at Texas just dying laughing. Our number one hole, there's a whole family camping, and they're swimming in the hole.
Oh, gosh.
They're riding them dudes.
There's always those unexpected, you know, you can be as prepared as you want to be, but you can't prepare for a family bailing off in your best spot.
That's probably their hole.
Oh, yeah. Hootie right there to witness it.
Oh, you know he was cracking up.
Oh, yeah, we could hear him laughing from across the lake.
Oh, gosh.
It's pretty funny.
So when you guys are out scouting and you're covering just a ton of water, do you guys pay attention? This is a question that we had sent to us. Do you guys pay attention to what time you're seeing the fish compared to what time you're going to go back there the next night or the tournament day or whatever it is?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like fish in certain places might not pull in till if you've seen a pattern of them being that, you know, say they might not be no fishing up anywhere and right after dark, and then they might not normally pull in till after 2 o'clock or something like that. And I think where a lot of people get messed up is if they go out there and they don't see them at dark, then they give up. Mm-hmm. That's the number one. That's one of the number one things that you just cannot do. If you're going to shoot tournaments and stuff like that, do not give up. I mean, you can, because them fish, like at the World Championship in 2012 that we won on Gunnersville, what was it, Shorty? 12:30, 1 o'clock, we got three fish in the boat. That's it. Mm-hmm. And then we wound up winning, but it was, it was one of them nights that the fish didn't pull in until. It was also another one of them nights that everybody and their brother scouted the same fish that we did. And then when they went over there, it looked like our hole that we was going to looked like a Christmas tree over there. And they wasn't seeing no fish there either. And then they all left, and then we come back and destroyed them.
Hmm.
So, we just, yeah, you have to pay attention to the times.
Do you think boat traffic hurts the fish that haven't come up yet that are sitting out in a little deeper water when boats are just pounding banks, like, you know, say at the U.S. Open where, gosh, I had a bank with, I think, 5 grassies marked on it, and we'd found them grassies at midnight. Well, there's 100 boats rolling down that bank between the time we let the tournament out and midnight, and I mean, they didn't come up, but it could have just been that maybe a boat was up there before us and they were up or whatever. But you think boat traffic really hurts them fish coming up or staying deep?
I think it does, especially if it's a, you know, shallow flats and stuff, and you have multiple people coming in. I mean, it'd have to be a little bit of pressure on them, I would think.
Mm-hmm. No,
I really think it.
Yeah, I agree.
That would be an option.
Yeah, we had some friends on Gunnersville last year at the Open talking about fish coming up at 2 in the morning. They had a troller boat, little 20-foot troller boat, and they ran the same 100 yards of bank all night. And they end up killing like a 30-some pounder, and they got the 28-pound exact weight or 18-pound exact weight. But they knew them; they'd seen them fish the 2 nights before, and they come up about 2 in the morning, is what they said. And they literally ran that bank to keep people off of it, and end up killing the big fish. They come up late, but yeah, that's a testament to just holding out and
sticking to a plan.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
I got a question that I thought was pretty funny. How do you talk your wife into letting you buy a bigger boat?
I don't,
because you've got a pretty big boat, and he's probably pretty good at selling that.
What was that question? I didn't hear you.
How do you talk your wife into buying a bigger boat?
That's a fan submitted question.
Fan submitted question.
Bigger,
yeah, big.
A bigger boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Shorty said you got to get her a bigger diamond, but now look, you know, my wife is very supportive of everything I do, and she's the best wife in the world. I mean, if I wanted a bigger boat, she could let me go buy one. But
she puts up with your hunting and fishing, and that's awesome.
She trusts me. It's a lot to put up with, I'm sure. I'm very lucky in that department. She don't like him. She likes him being gone. Yeah, could be that too.
Funny boat story. I built my boat last year, and my wife didn't know I'd built a boat.
Till you pulled in with it?
No, I told her when I was leaving for Georgia to go pick it up. But
yeah,
that's one way to do it.
There's the answer to that question. Just do it.
Don't tell her.
Yeah, don't tell her.
Valentine's Day special. Bring
That's
her home.
Right.
I would say that there's probably a lot of people out there that would really get in a lot of trouble about that, though.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat as you, though. I've got a pretty good wife that I guess as long as the bills are paid, she's pretty okay with it.
Yep, that's right.
So, you guys ready to get back to Kansas? Do some deer hunting?
I am ready. Actually leaving next Thursday, let's see, the 3rd, going up there turkey hunting, I think.
Oh,
May 3rd. So going up there for a little while, see if we can't shoot some of them Rios.
Yeah, we're kind of right on that line, aren't we, where we're hunting at?
Yep.
I'm excited to see if I got that, drew the tag or not, so I can get out there and get my feeders filled up and get some mineral out and get cameras rolling. That's about more fun than hunting, I think.
Oh, yeah, the preparation.
Yep.
That's for sure.
Well, so you guys...
Damn, it finally quit raining right now.
It did quit raining?
Well, for right now.
Oh, man. It's getting ready to be on.
I'm sure we'll be probably getting some more before we get where we're going, but...
So do you guys, when you guys are scouting, do you guys shoot fish at all, or are you guys just balls to the wall, counting how many big fish you can find and rolling on?
Well, Jordy's sitting over here laughing because a couple years ago, carp out. We were scouting for the carp out the weekend before. My partner over here decides, we see this big old common sitting in this brush top, and he didn't actually see it. The water was fairly muddy. And I said, did you see that one? He's like, no, I didn't. Turn around. Let me go see you. And he had his bow. I didn't have my bow in my hand. I said, you could just see the back of it. It's all you could see. And I said, it was huge. Turn around. Let me go see. Well, I knew he thought about going ahead and busting one for him. And anyway, we turned around, went back over there, and barely could see it. He flung an arrow in there at it. And it kind of spooked it out. And then it went under the boat, I think it was, and turned around. He's like, man, that was a big one. I said, Barry, he was right there. Well, I shouldn't have even said anything because he done daggum knocked his arrow again and busted it. And it was over a 40-pound common.
Oh.
And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. You just shot a $10,000 fish. And he's like, God, he'll still live? I said, it ain't going to live.
Oh, gosh. Nurse it back to life.
Get your Band-Aids out.
You got to watch your buddies.
Oh, I know that feeling.
One, as far as make sure our eyes and our guesstimation is the same. We'll try to take an average and shoot one. We don't shoot any. But we'll try, if we find fish, we'll try to shoot one and weigh it so we know what we're looking at. We're not guessing.
Yeah, I saw.
Yeah, that guessing game sucks sometimes.
I think you posted one picture of a grassy before the U.S. Open last year, and then you had a video of him swimming under the boat. I'm assuming that's your the one you use to check your eyes.
Yeah, it is. and my eyes were a little bit brighter after I weighed it.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Hold on a second. I have a crash here. I was thinking that the fish probably weighed about 40 pounds maximum, 35. I mean, just looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Then when we got it in the boat, it was 52 pounds. And then your head starts spinning like, oh, my gosh, all of them that we thought were big, they really were big.
Yeah.
So, you always got to shoot one, size them up.
Yeah.
What's going on.
That U.S. Open tournament, you guys kind of went for broke, didn't you? Didn't really have a backup plan if things went south.
Yeah, it was either going to be we were going to do good or we wasn't going to come in with nothing. It was 20 watts or nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 commons the week scouting, and that was it. It was pretty stressful because I know how grass carp can be. Grass carp can disappear in a heartbeat.
Oh, for sure.
They're all, you know, I'm not a big head fisherman, but I know enough about them to know that they're very unpredictable most of the time. And grass carp, I'm telling you, grass carp have been mine and Jordy's nemesis for a long time. I mean, Jordy wants to kill everyone he sees, even scouting, just because they've screwed us several times. But they held for us on that one, and that was, I guess that was a blessing from God, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Without getting into, you know, obviously too much detail, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people would like to hear that story, just, you know, whatever you feel comfortable with sharing, but not how you scouted for that one particularly, but just the story in and of itself, it'd probably be entertaining. I remember sitting in church and I didn't get to go, and Chase texts me that it was over 1,000 pounds, and I'm like, no, nope, no way, I don't believe it. And saw all the pictures and saw everything, and you know, it was just a little bit surreal. Just, I mean, even, you know, it was crazy. So I mean, that's probably one of those, you know, people will reference that, and I'm sure you had for the last year. You know, people are talking about it. So, you know, if you ever tell the story.
Let's even go farther back than just the night of. When you found these fish, did you guys go into, like, full ninja mode, you know, trying to repaint your truck a different color and
throwing your phones away,
hiding the boat. You know, did anything like that happen?
Well, yeah. There's a lot of stuff there that I could probably tell you, but I'm not going to tell you everything.
No, for sure.
No. Sure. Don't tell us any secrets. Just, you know, just the generalities.
We've done our homework. Trying to think of how to tell you this. And let's put it this way. We got some locals that kind of help show us a few places that they didn't know anything about boat fishing. They had no idea of anything about boat fishing. They just knew a little bit about the lake. But it was one time that we were eating at this little restaurant, and we were paying our ticket, and this elderly lady, she come up and she said, "What are y'all, you know," I forget what her initial thing was. "You all know what we were doing." And we told her we were looking big fish. And she wanted to tell us about some lakes and some other stuff she lived up there, all her life, whatever. But she gets us in her Cadillac and drives us around.
Of course, it's a Cadillac.
Everybody that she knows from her family tree, I guess, wanting to tell us and show us places and this, that, and the other. We didn't really learn anything off that trip. We were scared to death because this lady was probably 85 years old and driving a Cadillac like she just had been shot out of a rocket all over the poop. I mean, she was, me and Shorty don't drink. But we were at this restaurant that was a partial bar, and she had just got up from the bar. Okay. She is driving us around, running off the road. Shorty's had told his wife, she'll hear from me in a little while. We'll probably run off the side of the road and we're crashed somewhere because of this crazy lady driving us around. Okay. But she did show us a couple of ramps that we wound up using one of them, but I don't know. There's a lot of tales to that. I mean,
you don't have to go into any more. I mean, whatever you're comfortable with.
I will tell you this. We did park where you could not see us.
Yeah.
It was one of the things that you kind of, I mean, you know, I love competition just as Shorty does, but and we knew we were going to have some, but we wasn't going to just, you know, broadcast it. I mean, I love to be visual when visual is nice, but if you don't want the whole world over there on you, you kind of have to use some strategy.
Yeah, you don't want to just park the boat out front and leave flags hanging on it.
Yeah, you know, our boat's drawing enough attention as it is. So,
so coming into that night.
But as far as the fish, that was the most epic night of fishing I guess I've ever been in my life. Probably will never have another night like that. I mean, we did have to, though, after the first three holes we went to, all four of us, missed several. Very, very nice. After that third hole, you kind of have to sit down and say, listen, this is going to be the way the night that we've been wanting to happen for a long time is going to happen, then heck, we might as well just go to the house.
I remember you telling me that you guys struggled. Yeah.
We just had to have a kind of a come to Jesus meeting there for a little bit, and then after that, it was on. I mean, there was very little hip-hops after that. I mean, we got to the 19th fish, and then it seemed like we couldn't get 20th one. We kind of got on a little missing spree there at the end, but wound up, we finally pulled 20 off.
You guys actually put so many fish in the boat that you had to unload at one point, didn't you?
Yeah, that was another little scary obstacle. You know, you're thinking, is anybody watching? but we sent, I don't know, probably a little over 500 pounds out in their barrels on an island. You know, we probably could have sent them out, you know, on the edge of the bank, but we drug them 100 yards up to the point. You know, you just don't want somebody to pull up and say, hey, there's some barrels of fish. Let's load them babies up, you know?
Yeah. No, for
so
sure.
So we did kind of hide up in the trees there a little ways.
At least 100 yards, according to Shorty.
Yeah, at least. And then we couldn't find them.
You couldn't find them when you came back?
No. Like, we're back, and that's, you know, it's already back for brain. You know, lose them or somebody get them. We get back, you know, just sleep deprived. And yeah, it took us just a minute.
Yeah.
To start to panic. We put a white book on. Are you sure this is right?
Oh, that'd make your heart skip a beat for sure.
Yep, that's for sure. It was a fun night. It surely was. And then the big fish that we shot was the one that shot it and he pulled out. Then he put another one again. He shot it in one boat and I shot it again. Anyway, we had some mishaps, a couple, you know.
If you shoot that many big grass carp, you're going to pull some out. There's no no doubt in that, I think.
Yeah, but I don't know. What, we only had a couple pull out. Yeah, what, the 20th or something, couldn't turn the boat real hard because it was already loaded. So when you go in and shoot one, it took a minute to get the boat. So to come on around and get on, they were pulling hard. We lost the couple.
Gotcha.
But I tell you, those talking about point or holding power, those fuzzy with a big fish point, that is, we've drugged so many fish at the Jordy. I mean, we have really actually drugged them, trying to drag them off there. I mean, you know, you don't always lose one every now and then with something. But I don't know, man. Them things they've got some holding power of that double.
So them big fish points, those have got the double barbs, right? One kind of above the other. Gotcha.
Yep. We've had really, really good luck with those. And like I've heard a lot of people talk about the grapples and stuff. Whenever you shoot them, if it goes through them big scales, you know, it won't open up.
Mm-hmm.
You won't go all the way through, and then it pulls out. Don't really have that problem with them points. Once they're in there, you know, there ain't no coming back out.
I guess I need to shoot bigger fish to need a big fish point.
I hear you.
But, well, we'll probably, we do got one more question for you.
What's that?
What would be a tip you would give a new bow fisherman coming into the sport?
A tip that I would give them?
Yeah, a tip, like as far as words of advice or wisdom.
You're talking about like on a tournament type?
Anything.
Just anything that comes to mind that you think would help them out.
Well, if you're going to get into tournaments, the number one thing is just do not quit. I mean, we've had several of our partners and stuff over the years that have just kind of sat down and kind of quit. And you can't win if you're going to quit. So,
yep.
But as far as coming into the sport, I mean, you don't have to have no big, lavish, fancy boat to do it. You can come in as low on the totem pole and have as much fun as a guy that's got $100,000 boat, you know? I mean, it's an easy sport to get into. I don't think that you pretty much all pay grades can get in and do, have as much fun as you want to have.
Yeah, it don't matter. Shoot off the bank, shoot off a boat, it's still a ball.
Yep. Recurve with a handrail. Doesn't really matter.
Yep. And last question. How many times do you get asked where you shot them fish at the open?
I can't count that high.
You can't count that high.
I cannot count that high.
Oh, that's...
You know, it is one of those questions though that I don't know what people are thinking. You know, I don't go and ask people like just say you won the world championship this year. I wouldn't come up and ask you that. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at all that water. Great, damn morning. I don't mean to get off track. We're coming across a river that is absolutely way out of its banks. But anyway, we did have, when we first got into this sport, we looked at several people that did really, really well. And, you know, the first thing that you think in your mind, if you didn't see some fish like that, is, oh, they must have cheated. Am I right, Jordy?
Oh, yeah.
That's the first thing that pops in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, there's been several people that have accused us of cheating. And I can promise you this. People that know me, if you would spend as much time trying to win as you do trying to figure out how to cheat, you would do so much better. And I have confronted several people that have said that and brought that up to me. And, you know, it's just not, it's not in us to do something like that. Not that we are anybody or anything of that nature. I'm not putting that brain, but...
Well, I mean, I would not
want to ruin my reputation as being the person that I am for a win. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd rather take a beating than
definitely
have to claim it like that.
I'll be the first to admit, whenever I saw those numbers and I saw that, I was like, man, I don't know. But after hearing, I didn't know you guys. I don't know you two. I've heard a lot about you. I see comment on social media. Since then, I've been proved or told by countless people who are like, no way. Like, we don't know how they did it, but there's no way those guys cheated. I don't personally believe you did. But how good do you have to be for people to be like, they immediately think you're cheated? I mean, that's doing something.
Yeah, that's saying something for sure.
I mean, that's a status right there. You know, for everybody to immediately say, oh, they had to have cheated and know that
you work hard to try to do right and this, that, the other. And then, you know, there's always going to be some people that's going to try to drag you down because they didn't. It. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, you have to overlook 95% of that. I mean, there's always going to be some people that try to drag somebody down. And, but, you know, you always just give it your best. We've had our tails handed to us many a time, you know, but that don't do but one thing. That don't do but one thing. It makes George Hill here, it makes him back on. Try 500 times more than if we hadn't got our tails beat. That's good sometimes. You sure I can talk to a 22? No, it ain't fun when you go through a loss, you know, especially if it's a big loss, like the world last year when we pulled up and we seen those gargantuan buffalo sitting on everybody's deck. I looked at Jordy and I said, so we just got our butt handed to us. You know, I mean, but those times happen too. I mean, you know, you can't be on it all the time.
Yep.
It's kind of like shooting deer, and you wound a deer every now and then. There ain't but one way to never wound another deer, and that's quit.
Yep.
Quit no hunting whatsoever. If you quit no hunting, you won't never wound another deer. But, you know, that's not going to happen. So just lick your wounds and learn from it and try harder.
Yep.
It's the way to be.
Oh, cool. Well, guys, I know you're hopefully getting close to where you're going to be scouting at, and hopefully you have a safe night tonight and find some big fish.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, don't post any pictures with stuff in the background.
Yeah. Here we are.
Yep.
All right.
And we'll we'll catch up to you when you come up here for the open.
All righty. We'll be there.
Yep, we'll talk to you later, guys.
Thank you guys so much. All right.
See ya. Bye.
Well, that was a fun conversation.
Yes, those two guys are some of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. and some of the best bow fishermen, I mean, around. And
clearly,
yeah, you know, they had a little bit of information on scouting. It'd be hard to get super specific without, I guess, giving everything away.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt like every time we started to go down a rabbit trail, we'd be like, this is not going to end well if we keep pushing it. So,
yeah,
we understand completely.
Yeah, I was just waiting for a dial tone after any of the questions I was asking. But yeah,
but I think we got the questions that I wanted to know was just kind of what was the night like, you know, and the kind of the vibe. Because obviously, even the guys like those dudes that have been fishing for 20 plus years, halfway into the night, they knew something. I mean, it was a big deal what was happening. So
yeah,
kind of try to catch the emotion and the vibe of that evening. That, you know, that's what I kind of wanted to hear about. So
yeah, it was, you know, I think the main thing on the scouting side of things is, you know, you got to use Google Earth. You've got to pay attention to Facebook, especially in your area. You know, if you've got a lot of bow fishermen area and you see a lot of big buffs being hauled out of lakes, hey, they're probably spawning and you probably need to get to the water.
Yep.
You know, and just putting a pattern together. I mean, and paying attention to where you're finding fish you can't put a price or a explanation on time on the water.
No.
I mean, whether it's the dam, whether the dam's running, the dam's not running, I mean, the lake coming up, falling, I mean, there's just so much.
I mean, pay attention to weather, barometric pressure. I mean, there's a lot of people that say, oh, that does help, oh, that doesn't help. When you're talking about anything, when you're mm-hmm. talking about the dam, when you're talking about the weather, you're talking about barometric pressure, you know, all these things, but really the main thing is when you're out there, use your brain, you know, and not just like, we'll just go around the next corner and, you know, just be thinking the whole time and just trying to remember, hey, this night 2 years ago, this worked, and, you know, piece together that pattern. Like, you know, they talked about and what we're talking about right now. And it's important to engage yourself a little bit, or you can just go out and have a good time and just roll as long as you can.
Yeah. I mean, but
you'll never take it to the next level.
You know, every time we roll across a fish, my buddy Chad, whether it's a tournament or we're shooting for fun, he's like, he yells out what kind of bank it is. He's like, that was a chunk rock bank. We saw one on a chunk rock bank two coves back. So then we start looking for chunk rock banks, and normally you can put together some sort of pattern. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just putting the common denominator together and figuring out, you know, and I like the comment about, you know, fish coming up at different times of the nights in different areas. I mean, that's, you know, everybody gets their dobber down about 2 a.m, mm-hmm. you know, they're thinking, yep. Well, I got some good fish. I might just go take a nap.
Yep.
But somewhere fish are coming up.
Exactly. You
know? And it's just figuring out where those are at and spending that time on the water.
Yeah, and knowing when they shut off, too.
Yes.
You know, certain times of year, you go out there, ride it right as the sun goes down, and you're going to find them for about an hour and a half, and then maybe 11 o'clock hits, and they are gone. So,
yep.
You know, you can keep trolling that same piece of bank, but the outcome will, you know, never change. You ain't going to see much, so.
Yep. Well, I get to drive home now.
You get to drive home. Yeah, so like us on Instagram, Facebook, subscribe on YouTube.
iTunes.
Write a review, subscribe on iTunes, Rough Fish Registry Podcast. Leave some comments. That helps us get pumped up there towards the top and so that new people can find us. And we don't have any actual sponsors. We never really tried, but there's a couple businesses that help us out, Battery Outfitters and ProGrad Batteries. We are stealing their internet and electricity. InDesigns. Mr. Jeff Kneeball, he designed our logo, so he's a friend of the podcast. So
yep, good guy.
Good dude. That was a good episode. If you haven't listened to it, go back and check that one out. A lot of, he knows everybody. He has thousands of stories, so it was a good time. What else?
I mean, that's really it. Yeah,
that's that.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
Hopefully, we can name out a big old list next week.
All of our sponsors are going to be rolling in. Yeah. We're wading through them all right now with countless offers.
I'm wearing Under Armour underwear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks to them for keeping
me wearing Saks.
Nice and dry. It's like air conditioning in your pants.
Yeah. Yeah. I wear Saks. I don't know if you've ever.
I have no idea what that is.
It's, I don't know if there's any girls listening, but Google it, guys. It's life changing.
I don't know if I want to Google Saks.
No, S-A-X-X underwear. I'm telling you.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
Change your life.
You're going platinum if you. If you're wearing Saks, there's a it's a whole phenomenon. Don't Google image it; just Google search it, and it's good stuff. I've converted my entire drawer.
Yeah,
yeah.
Platinum. And join the BAA. I think we need to definitely start pushing that. I think it's. I hate to say this, and I don't know. I think it's free right now still.
I don't know. I joined when it was free.
I joined when it was like. $10 or something, $20.
Yeah, $10, $20.
Either way,
you need to do it.
Yeah,
they're fighting for your right.
Give us all one voice. So, be sure to go there.
Yep.
Just Google Bowfishing Association of America, and it'll take you to the website.
Yep. If you kill a big fish, take a picture. Get the digital scale they recommend.
Clow Industrial.
Yeah.
So yeah.
If you go back to the episode, is it with Nibal?
Nibal.
Yep. Yeah. There's a link. And you can actually get that exact scale. I think it's like $50.
Yep.
So worthwhile investment. All right, guys. Thanks so much. Talk to you later.
Later.